Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Back to another episode of Inside Boxing Live, presented by PPV.com. I am Dan Canobio. He is the former world champion, Chris Algieri. And Chris, you know we always talk about weather, right? It's the boomer in me. That is the old man Dan in me. The weather outside. It's 81 degrees here in New York City as we record this. I just wanted to throw that out there because it's always warmer where you are. You're in your Gold's Gym spaghetti strap tank top, and I'm just want to let you know.
It's my pelagics fishing. I'm a Florida man now, so I wear fishing shirts. Yeah,
Florida man. After this podcast, I will go outside, but we are inside because this is Inside Boxing Live.
Do you have SPF 1000?
No, I use like 30. I use 30.
So you should 50 minimum for you, bro.
Yesterday I had a day, so I went to the park. Sat in the park for about 3 hours under a tree, fell asleep, got some sun, went to Palermo, went to a pizzeria, which has great gluten-free pizza. They make it fresh dough.
I saw your story and there was a pizza on there. I'm like, is this guy just nixing the whole gluten thing and being like, I'll pay for it later? It's that good?
No, that's gluten-free pizza. They make the dough fresh. Anyone out there that's gluten-free, boom. You know what the struggle's like. The frozen pizzas are like cardboard unless you can find a place that actually makes the dough fresh, gluten-free, with the rice flour. That place is legit. And then I went to the Yankee game. I went to the Yankee game with our old producer, Ronnie. Those that have been with us since the John Boy days remember Ronnie. He's the John Boy Media. He's still there. Dog. He does great work there. So it was a five-star day, even though the Yankees lost. Who cares? It was a day well spent. And yeah, man. And I see that you're over in getting ready for Pro Box.
Yeah, Plant City got in last night. We got some fights tonight. We got the return of Ivan Redcatch.
Well, by the time this comes out, the fights will have already happened.
Oh, yeah, true.
So, Ivan Redcatch, are you going to win? Are you going to lose? Are you going to get taken out on a stretcher again?
We got, you never know. Yeah, from a kidney shot. That probably didn't happen. But we also have Adam Lopez versus Jonathan Cardoza, which is going to steal the show. Blue Nose is a very talented kid, had a rough go, had fought only tough guys. I think that's going to be the fight of the night for sure.
Well, by the time this comes out, it would have already happened. So that's a prediction from Chris Algieri. Let's get into it. We still are buzzing from the Tyson Fury versus Alexander Usyk fight. There's always fallout. There's always things to discuss when it comes to that. The latest is that Frank Warren has told TalkSport that Fury has triggered the rematch clause. And we should be getting that rematch sometime at the end of October. I take it with a grain of salt because this is Tyson Fury we're talking about. There is a rematch clause. It's up to the loser to trigger it. I'm not shocked if Fury triggers it because I feel like he's a prideful guy and like why not get that money and it's a winnable fight. But Frank Warren coming out and saying that there will be a rematch, it's not the most surprising news, but we'll see. Like I with bated breath, I read you that headline.
Yeah, not surprising at all. I think it makes a ton of sense for both guys in terms of, for Fury, obviously, it's a legacy thing. We have an opportunity here. And like you, Dan, you put it perfectly. It's a winnable fight for Fury. It's not, people are like, you know, the odds came out and obviously Usyk is a favorite, but like it's still pretty tight. And I keep saying it over and over again. If Fury doesn't get hurt in that eighth round, he wins the fight. So it's a very winnable fight. So obviously it makes a lot of sense for Fury to fight for legacy, to try and get that loss back. But also we potentially sets up a rubber match and a trilogy and one of the great trilogies of all time for the heavyweights and a ton of money, a boatload of money. And that's what brings me to Usyk. Why would he not do it? Listen, he could stop right now. He can never fight again. His legacy is set and his legacy will end on a high note. But He made around $35 million in that fight. Tyson made about $100. That's going to flip-flop. Usyk has the ability
to... You would think, right?
You would think so. I mean, should. It should. But we're looking at... So maybe he doesn't make $100, but he makes somewhere in the 70 to 100 range for Usyk. That, dude, that's generational money. We're talking $75 million. Come on. Why would you not do that? So
no, I get why for Usyk, because he this is a guy that, you know, he didn't make that type of money until I would say the Joshua
right
fight.
Now.
He
yeah.
Right now in the Joshua fights, he obviously made good money coming up as a cruiserweight. There wasn't the same money that there is at heavyweight. And with
I don't know if he really made good money at cruiserweight. He fought a lot of
super
badasses. Six. Yeah, but what kind of money are we talking? We're not talking about like
I mean,
this
like
kind of
I'm
heavyweight
talking
money.
About
heavyweight
money compared
different.
To money compared to the layman, money compared to the regular
okay.
folk out
all right.
there.
Yeah, we're talking different tax brackets for sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, he made decent money as a cruiserweight, but really started making that top tier 1% money when mm-hmm. he fought Joshua. Now he beats Fury.
That 0.1%.
Right. He can retire. There's people out there calling for him to retire. There's those people out there that are just like. The legacy of it would be something about going out on top. And if there was someone to go out on top, if there was someone to just say, you know, forget the money and I want to go back home with my kids, because he gave that speech afterwards. Did you catch that speech where he missed like two of his kids' birthdays? He missed Christmas.
Happy New Year's. I miss my son's birthday, my other son's birthday, my daughter's birthday, my son's birthday. You know, like, yeah, I caught
because
that.
This fight, remember, this fight was supposed to be December 23rd.
We said he was training for 9 months straight. That's, guys, let me tell you, as a fighter, Dan, you never had to go through this. Training camps suck. They're 2 months long, 3 months long sometimes. Nine is crazy. Training
That's
camps absurd. Suck.
That's three training camps.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had some, like, you probably stopped a few times in between all the cancellations.
But you can't really stop. Your mind doesn't leave it. It's not a real stop.
All right, this fight was supposed to be December 23rd, and then it got moved to February, and then Fury got the cut, and now it's in May. So, yeah, do the math. This guy paid off. I mean, we're not going to sit here and feel bad for the guy, but it paid off, and... But my point being is, like, if one person was more likely to retire, it's probably Usyk, and he would go out on top. But we've seen that story play out. Not surprised.
But even,
Fury.
But even Andre Ward. So I think he's in a very Andre Ward situation now, right? So he had that first fight with Kovalev. Close fight, gets dropped early, you know, was having a lot of trouble, and then figures it out, wins the decision. Mm-hmm. He still took the rematch, and he made a boatload of money in that rematch. And he wins the fight, obviously, emphatically. And then he walks off. So, like, I kind of hold those two in similar regard in terms of, you know, them walking off into the sunset on top. Andre Ward and Alexander Usyk. So, but...
Well, what if...
Ward still came back for that money.
I'll ask you this. Play a little hypothetically. What if Usyk takes the rematch and he loses? Mm-hmm. And he loses, like, 8-4. Like, Fury boxes, and then he gets physical. Loses an 8-4 decision. It's not really that close. Does that hurt Usyk's legacy? Because right now it's perfect. Chris takes a slug of water.
Who
for those
cares?
Not watching.
Who cares? Who cares? $100 million, guy. Yeah. You did all the things already. Go make that. Go make that generational wealth. Go do it. Go do it. I mean, I'm not saying, you know, don't give your hardest. Don't. I mean, he very well may lose that fight. If he wants to fight the third rubber match or not, it doesn't matter to me. That's up to you, bro. Like, I don't know. I think legacy wise, I think he goes down and having two great heavyweight fights. He makes a crazy amount of money. Everything he's already done is still done. He's right. still undisputed heavyweight champion. He's still undisputed cruiserweight champion. He's still an Olympic gold medalist. People at home, you know how much a gold medal means to a boxer? That's
everything.
A huge deal.
Means
That's
a gold medal means to an athlete. Like, you could talk to LeBron James, you could talk to Kobe, you can talk to those guys. Yep. They some of those guys put the gold medal above their NBA championships.
Well, it's a lot of times it's harder. I mean, not for basketball,
it's
but for
country
boxing.
And all that.
Yeah. Yeah, there's the pride, and obviously the Ukrainian pride is soaring, especially right now, but always has been. They're very prideful people. So yeah, I mean, dude, go make that money, bro.
Yeah.
Take that money.
I still think it will be a close fight no matter what because of Fury Fury kind of falling off a little bit and you know, getting older. And but another thing too, you got to think of with Usyk is like 9 month training camp. put everything you had into this fight, wins a close fight in just dramatic, such dramatic fashion. He's probably still feeling it today, almost a week after. And the fall off and the dip, like you can talk about this, like after a big win or after like a dramatic, like you're after the pinnacle. The pinnacle was what Usyk did on last Saturday. It's hard. If anyone can overcome that mentally, it's definitely Usyk, but you got to figure there's some type of fall off. There's some type of, what's the word I'm looking for, Chris?
The fall from grace after the highest high after a fight. I had a big problem with that as the fights got bigger. And even though I was winning, the mental and emotional drop off is really bad. I actually went and was going to a professional psychologist to speak to after some of my big fights.
Oh, I love that.
I was having a lot of trouble after. It was after the Taylor fight. That fight was a big fight for me. It was a big opportunity. I tried to leave the sport before the fight because I wasn't getting opportunities that got presented to me. I took that fight. It was a huge step. It was right before getting a world title fight. And the higher I climbed, the harder the fight, the harder the wins got. And not, I don't mean in the ring in terms of how to deal with it afterwards. The depression after fights is really bad. It's whatever. I don't know what rock bottom is for a drug addict, but I know what rock bottom is for a fighter. And often it comes after wins. The emotional dump, you know, the adrenaline, the dopamine, it's wild. I mean, yeah, and I had a lot of trouble. I had to speak to, you know, people close to me, my family. Thank God I had a close team, but also I spoke to professionals about that because psychologically it was a really, really tough thing to handle.
Sports psychologists, I think those are so important now. Like every mm-hmm. team has them, but like once again with boxing, you don't necessarily have a team. Like you don't have an organization. Like the Knicks,
yeah, you're the boss.
You don't have the Knicks. Yeah, you're the boss. You have to do that. So that's really that's
you got
to
pay for that.
Really good insight.
You got to dish out. You know,
that's worth it though.
Yeah.
When I asked these fighters, some of the coolest videos I enjoy doing on these social medias, when I asked the fighters like Devin Haney or Canelo or Jake Paul, like, how much money do you spend on a training camp? And they tell me, you know, some of them is more extravagant than the others. But a lot of times they're like chef and mental health coach and trainer and all that. So there's a lot that goes into it. So that's interesting. But yeah, Usyk.
My Pacquiao camp was a few hundred thousand dollars.
Right. It makes sense. Like you know, living, sparring mm-hmm. partners,
sparring food. Partners, camp, training, team, food,
recovery
stuff. Whether it's hyperbaric chambers, massage therapists, cold therapy, you know, having access to facilities that can have all that kind of stuff. The number, you know, your team grows at that point. You know, specialists. Yeah, it adds up quick.
Yeah, that's interesting. But anyone can overcome. That type of fallout and that fall down. I mean, it's
Usyk is stone cold, man.
Well, how does Fury respond too? That's an interesting. What's going through Fury's mind right now? I know, like you can just say throw money on top of it. Money isn't everything, guys. Like it's great. It fixes a lot of issues. But for Fury, man, this is a guy who's been humbled. Two fights in a row. His last 22 rounds, he was knocked down by Ngannou and won a split decision. Loses to Usyk, is nearly knocked out again. So his last 22 rounds have been nothing like the previous 100 plus of his career. I wonder what's going through his mind right now as he's home with his 45 kids running around his house.
Yeah,
he's probably not home, right?
Honestly, though, I think as much as, you know, it's not like it's been, it kind of is because Tyson is kind of been that guy. You know, Steve Cunningham drops him in a stunner. You know, the Wilder fights, all of them, he went down four times in those three fights.
Right.
You know, some of them are really, really bad. I don't know. I thought he was very sober and poignant in the post-fight press conference. I loved what he said. He goes, listen, we just beat the fuck out of each other for 12 rounds. Look at my face. You know, like we had a fight, we had a scrap. It was great. And I all respect to my opponent. You know, Oleksandr gave me a great fight. He's a great competitor. I thought I won. Whatever, I didn't. It is what it is. I'm gonna go to the bar. I'm gonna have some pints. I'm gonna go talk to my manager.
Well, not in Saudi Arabia.
No, certainly not there. He was
gonna fly to Dubai. You got a pint.
I also pretty sure he meant going home and partying with his family, all his 27 kids. But you know, I respected both of them, both of their stances after the fight. That was one of the best post fight pressers in terms of what these guys were saying. I think I've ever heard at a high level.
Yeah,
tremendous amount of respect. Tremendously professional, both men, which is, I mean, not surprising, but Well, maybe a little from Tyson, because Tyson can get a little wild.
Well, I think the humble
Tyson is a respectful guy.
Chris, I think the immediate interview in the ring was when he brought up the Ukraine. That's when you get the raw emotion. Someone on YouTube, a YouTube commenter asked, like, hey, I wish you guys would go a little bit deeper in the post-fight pressers, or the post-fight in the ring. Like, obviously, I've never done one. I've done the interviews, and I've always felt a little bit uncomfortable talking to the loser. Like, talking to the winner, it's the most unbelievable rush in that ring because they're so freaking happy and they're so positive that you can feel it. I want to talk to you about that. Like, in the ring, directly after a fight, were you ever interviewed after a loss in the ring, or is it only after wins?
No.
Or what do you just? What do you think about just getting interviewed in the ring right after you just got your head hit for?
Well, winner or loser should not be interviewed in the ring, because the winner is literally high on life. You're basically stoned off of the dopamine hit and winning and the exaltation, everything. So you can get some wild stuff from that guy, and then the guy who lost is I mean, he's also it's crazy. You have this in your body. The fight's over, the training camp's over, so you have that, like, that release of that.
Like, it's over, yeah.
It's over. I don't care what happens, it's over. Naturally, your body's like, okay, we're past all this pain. Because training camp is pain. You're talking about 3 months of pain. So your body's past that. So your body is like, oh, thank God. But then your mind is like, I failed. And so you've got this, like, high and low. It's like having a Four Loko. it's an upper and a downer at the same time. It's really, really tough, to go through something like that. And I think interviewing a fighter, win or lose, immediately post is really, really tough. And it's hard to keep it together, no matter what kind of professional you are. But I've done both. I've been interviewed as a winner. I've been interviewed as a loser in the ring. It's tough. You don't remember most of what you don't remember almost anything you say in either direction.
So scary. So
it's very scary, especially in a world where we live of cancellations. So it's like you can say anything.
Well, I feel like you get with a grain of salt if someone said something crazy. Like, I feel like, well, first of all, you're in the ring. You always said, I'm stepping into a ring shirtless and fighting for a bunch of strangers.
Fighting so in front of a million people.
Right. You're already like in a vulnerable state. And then, like, let's put a mic in your face directly after. It's just crazy. Just for our entertainment, it's nuts.
But then also, like, we're both concussed. Win or lost, you're probably concussed. Like, what are we asking of these athletes that give so much?
Speaking of concussed, did you see this? Joe Joyce is fighting Derek Chisora.
Chisora. So they had Chisora on the telecast for the fight this past weekend. They had to pull him off, basically.
He was really bad.
Joe Parker was fantastic. Joseph Parker was great. I think he's got a career in broadcasting post career, and even Parker had to step in and save Chisora during a stutter. He did the right thing. It's not good.
That's pretty much it with the Fury Usyk fallout. We haven't heard much from Fury. He's probably not going to hear much from him, I think, for a while. We heard from Frank Warren. Usyk really hasn't done any interviews. These guys are just. It's been a long buildup, and they're just kind of chilling out right now. So there isn't much on that front. 20 million people illegally streamed the fight, which seems
low. That's been big news. I don't think it's so
you know why it's been big news? Because there's really nothing else to talk about with this fight. Like, everyone's kind of like talked about the fight.
Great.
For the last couple
it was great. It was a good fight. Great.
Okay. 20 million people illegally streamed. I thought it would be higher than that. That's probably the number, like, or a little bit lower for like any big fight.
We need controversy, right? Because the fight was good and like the right guy won. So we need controversy.
I'm not going to tell you what to do out there, but don't illegally stream fights. Order fights on PPV.com and
boom.
And support fighters, support us, support everyone on PPV.com. We have a live interactive chat. We'll be in there on June 15th is our next event. Tank versus Frank, Benavidez versus Vodzik. We're going to go to Las Vegas for that. We're going to be in the live chat with Jim Lampley. Stream it to your phone, tablet. Any device, no subscriptions, clear stream. We're working on a lot of fun new wrinkles to the broadcast and to the interface. So PPV.com is the place to do it. You 20 million people that are legally streaming a fight, shame on you because you're taking money out of the fighters' pockets. And I know times are hard.
And you're hurting the sport that you love. So
that's another thing too. I understand. Like, there's a lot of pay per views. Times are hard. Everyone doesn't have disposable income for this. But if you want the best to fight the best, you have to support the sport. You have to put, like, these promoters are going to be more willing to make the fights if they see the return, if they see the amount of people that are buying the fight. Like, I think a lot of people did buy this fight, but the $20 million is pretty crazy number. It was that type of fight. You know, I listened to this podcast, Pardon My Take, everyone out there. It's the number one sports podcast. It's from Barstool Sports. And they actually discussed Fury versus Usyk on it. They spent like 10 minutes. Were they getting most of the facts wrong? Yes. Did one of the guys say the judge voted for Usyk? And I was like, no, he did not just say voted. But it was the point being is it hit the mainstream. Like, this fight made it into the mainstream consciousness, sports fans. A bunch of people texting me that don't even watch boxing. Yo, that Fury fight was crazy. So 20 million people.
Which is great because it wasn't a cringe fight. Like,
no, nothing bad.
Normally only cringy stuff makes it mainstream. Because exactly. We live in a world of cringe. Apparently, cringe is the most popular thing around and the most appealing, which is insane to me. So we actually had a good contest. That was a fantastic matchup between two undefeated greats.
Thank you. Right. Thank God. The Ryan Garcia fight broke through. And
yeah,
Haney broke through. But then you have the
tons of controversy, crazy amounts of cringe. Like,
which today, speaking of which, Ryan Garcia, May 22nd, as we record this, is the day the V sample comes out.
Any news on that yet?
It's coming out later today.
It's 12:34 p.m. EST right now, guys. So
Ryan Garcia is beefing with Logan Paul right now.
Who's he not beefing with? He's beefing with David Benavidez, who's 40 pounds heavier than him. He's beefing with Spence.
An orangutan. He's in the car. He's in a car with an orangutan. Well,
That's the only guy he's not beefing with is the orangutan, apparently.
Someone tweeted, like, I don't know if anyone saw that video of Ryan Garcia in a car with an orangutan. Someone tweeted, like, a quote tweet. It was like, they're lucky that orangutan could have really messed things up for a lot of people if he just freaked out.
Just if he just bit his face off.
Right?
Yeah.
Imagine
ripped his fingers off one by one and like bit his face. Like, yeah, that orangutans are, yeah. Yeah.
That would be fucking nuts.
There was some video going around. They were talking about, what's his name? Gordon Ryan, who's the best no-gi jiu-jitsu player ever. And someone was asking his coach, like, well, you know, how would Gordon do with a chimpanzee? And his trainer was like, no, he gets killed in seconds. And they're like, no way, it's Gordon Ryan. He goes, no, he gets killed in seconds.
It's a fucking animal.
Yeah, people are so stupid. Like, they're like, no, but it's Gordon Ryan. He's the best jiu-jitsu player in the world. Like, come on, dude. Like, no, it's an animal.
It's literally an animal. Like, they're trained to do that shit.
They're not even trained. They're just like a chimpanzee or orangutan. Like, they're like coiled steel. Their muscle density is ridiculous.
Oh, my God. Yeah, so Ryan Garcia is beefing with Logan Paul over Prime. And Logan Paul today.
Oh, he's been at that for a bit.
Right. It gives kids cancer and all this shit. So Logan Paul today on to his 30 million Instagram followers puts out a countdown to Ryan Garcia's B sample. He's definitely shitting his pants right now. So maybe we'll have a reaction if it comes out.
I don't think Ryan shits his pants about anything, honestly. I don't think he cares.
Well, he's in the Middle East right now. So yeah.
Having a time of his life.
Let's go quickly. I want to go for the heavyweight picture right now. I'm trying to, you know, as we get one heavyweight fight, a big one like this, there's some fallout in the division, and we want to understand who's fighting who, what's the title. So as you know, like, the Usyk was going to be stripped of the IBF title in the next 2 weeks. The rematch is likely for October with Fury. Hrgović and Dubois will now fight for the IBF world title, which will be on June 1st. Mm-hmm. And that is the 5-on-5 card. That is the Zhang versus Wilder card. Zhang is fighting Wilder on June 1st. Joshua could get the winner of the Hrgović-Dubois fight in September, which would be for IBF title. We talked about this last episode. Or Joshua could fight Wilder in a straight-up grudge match if Wilder beats Zhang. Or Joshua could fight Zhang. Andy Ruiz is fighting Jarrell Miller August 3rd in Los Angeles on that crazy Crawford card. And then, as we just said before, Joe Joyce is fighting Derek Chisora I don't know what type of fight that is for you, but that's really like the heavyweight division right now. Those are the top guys. It's a lot of fights. I'll tell you that. There's a lot of heavyweight fights between now and July, which is in August, I should say, which is cool.
Yeah, I mean, we're a very healthy heavyweight division right now, and we got to thank His Excellency Turki Al-Sheikh because he's making these fights happen. Once per episode, at least. He's making these fights happen. I mean, heavyweights used to fight once a year, twice a year, you know, sometimes not at all in a year. Now we got guys coming off losses and fighting 3 months later. Like, it's a good thing, guys. This is what we want, and it's the way things used to be. It's the way things should be. So, you know, heavyweight boxing is back. And the crazy thing about heavyweights, and we say it all the time, anything can happen, man. It takes one punch. So any one of these guys can, you know, get into the next tier with a win at any one of these fights. Like, we could look at Zhang being, you know, fighting for a world title very, very soon. He gets a win against Wilder. That's a huge deal. Or Wilder could be back, you know, like Bomb Squad could eventually be back in these big fights, talking about Joshua and Usyk, you know, once again. So nobody wants to see Tyson Fury and Wilder anymore. But
No. What about Usyk versus Wilder?
Yeah, well, that was my point. Like, that's a crazy fight. Like, listen, would I back Usyk? Absolutely. But just takes one punch at Wilder, no matter who he fights. The guy can knock out a dinosaur. And
he can knock out an orangutan.
Yes, I think he could.
but if Wilder gets past Zhang,
Which I'm not sure he will.
Right. If he does, that's a big time win considering the Parker performance. He's still correct. Deontay Wilder. He knocks Zhang out and he does his Bomb Squad.
Which is the only way he wins, by the way.
Right. And he comes in. He's back. In heavyweight division, like you said, one punch can change everything. I think Wilder all of a sudden has huge fights, but Wilder versus Usyk is kind of like the last fight of that generation that we have here, this top four of Usyk, Fury, Joshua, Wilder, and we've seen pretty much all of them fight each other besides Joshua and Fury, which I still think we're going to get. We haven't seen Wilder and Usyk fight. We have not seen Wilder versus Usyk. Wilder with a crazy right hand, if he could still land it. Usyk is Usyk. I wouldn't mind seeing that. I mean, it's a big money fight at that point, too. It could easily be made. Does Usyk want it? I don't know. Does Wilder want it? Probably. It's a chance to win a piece of another world title.
I don't think it makes sense for Usyk. I do think, though, I mean, we were close to getting Joshua Wilder at the end of last year. And then, and I think a lot of people are like, I've talked to some people and they're like, I don't want to see Wilder knock Joshua out. And then Joshua looks great against Olive Adeline and Wilder on the same card looks terrible against Parker. And now you're like, oh, wow, I favor Joshua against Wilder now. When before it was like, he's going to get starched in three rounds. So now I'd rather see that. I'd rather see Joshua Wilder. Listen, I'm sorry. I want to see Joshua with everybody. I like Joshua, except for Usyk. I like Joshua. I like the way he fights. I like the way he matches up with everyone. I think he can beat everyone except for Usyk. Not saying he will. But Fury, Joshua is my favorite heavyweight fight to be made, other than the rematch with Usyk and Fury, obviously. Next would be Joshua Wilder. Also, I like Zhang in there, too. I like.
Well, if he wins too, that it just goes to your point. If Hrgović wins, he's a heavyweight titleist and he'll get big fights. If Zhang wins, it's a big time fight. There's fights for him to be made with everyone. If Wilder wins, fights for it's just exciting. Like, the heavyweight division has always had
red hot
the ingredients. Now they're actually fighting, and now that these fights are being made, so it's like endless possibilities as long as these guys all want to fight and they're all like in their mid to late 30s.
I don't think wanting to fight has anything to do with any of these guys because they're all getting paid a grip. And
that's what I mean.
Think,
like,
I think they do.
They're at the
fight,
end of their careers, is what I'm trying to say. Like, they're all at the end where they're no longer caring about wins or losses, no longer caring about risk management. Like, Wilder is taking this fight with Zhang, and then they're also talking about putting him on that August 3rd card against Jared Anderson. Like, Wilder is just like, all right, I'm in check. Just cashing checks at this point and still making the fights that the fans want to see. So that's the heavyweight division right now. Let's go over to the biggest fight of this weekend. It's Josh Taylor versus Jack Catterall. Believe it or not, it's actually happening. Their first fight was February 26, 2022. Oh my God, that was so long ago. Catterall was this close to being the 140-pound undisputed champion because at that time, Taylor still had all four belts. It was a split decision win for Taylor by a point. Catterall dropped Taylor in the eighth. He opened up a cut over Taylor's eye. Catterall had a point taken away in the 11th Taylor had a point taken away in the 11th for hitting after the bell. Catterall had a point taken away in the 10th for excessive holding. that's the type of fight it was. They barely combined to land 200 punches. It was not ugly, a really
ugly fight.
It was the fight was ugly. It was more remembered for Jack Cadwell getting robbed and Josh Taylor being the undisputed champion that really lost, in my opinion and most people's opinions. That's what that fight's about. And then a rivalry grew from it. It wasn't a good fight. It wasn't like people demanded to see a rematch, but now we're getting a rematch more than 2 years after the first fight.
They were getting in their face before the fight as well. So it wasn't just a rivalry built on how the fight played out. They had their own rivalry going before. Taylor is kind of that guy anyway. He kind of fights with everybody before fights. He just gets in that mindset. And Cadwell, we've never really seen that from him, but it got brought out by Taylor's antics. But now
Taylor's an instigator. The guy's an instigator.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. But yeah, the fight was not memorable in any other way other than what they've developed in terms of their personalities. So yeah, I mean, this was probably a good fight. You know, 18 months ago, 2 years now, it's a little bit overcooked, a little oversalted, a little overseasoned at this point. I'm not sure how many people are excited about this fight. I'm certainly not. I don't know how you feel about it, Dan, but it is what it is.
It's a holiday.
It's the fight of the weekend right now. So that's why we're talking about it. If this happened last week, it probably wouldn't even got mentioned. So
I know that's the thing. It's just a holiday weekend. A lot of people are going to be barbecuing. A lot of people are going to be hanging out. Like, I'll probably watch it on my phone. I mean, this is my job. Of course, I'm going to watch it at some point. But yeah, it's just like, just took too long. Injuries.
At some point.
At some point, I will watch it. Taylor, so many injuries. Relinquished all his titles. Loses to Teofimo in a pretty brutal fashion. More injuries. More delays. Just that type of fight. Taylor, I think, is 33 years old. He never really made that move to 147. I wouldn't say exposed is not the right word, but just didn't look great against Teofimo. Had that unbelievable run before that where he was on top 10 pound for pound lists.
Dude, he was. I held him very highly. He was so an excellent everyone fighter. Did. I mean, he still is. He's still a very good fighter. So
it just shows you, like, 33 in boxing. Like,
I say that number every time, Dan. I say that number all the time. 33 is when it changes.
Yeah, it changed before that for him, but he's 33 now and nearly a year out of the ring. Since the Teofimo
fight, a lot of injuries.
Cadderall hasn't really fought much either. He fought Linares, and he had another stay busy fight since that fight in February. So both guys are really have some ring rust. Both guys are a little bit past it. It's a grudge match. It's Scottish versus English, England. It will be probably a really fun atmosphere and all that. But as of right now, DraftKings has Taylor as the +105 favorite. Underdog. Cadderall is the favorite. Wow.
Oh, wow.
-130. Taylor by decision is +220. Cadderall by decision +125.
I might put money on that, actually.
On Taylor?
Yeah.
Taylor by decision +220. If you still think that Josh Taylor has anything left and you don't think he can knock out Cadderall, I don't think there's going to be a knockout because, you know, it's just that type of fight with these guys.
Yeah,
Taylor
I don't see
by decision. Taylor by decision is not bad, +220. Over-under is 10.5. I think it goes rounds. This is all according to DraftKings Sportsbook, official sportsbook of Inside Boxing Live. So that's the big fight this weekend. We will watch. We will talk about it on our other show.
I've been watching it. I've been doing my homework for the fight, so we'll have a lot to talk about.
Of course. Let's get to the mailbag. We missed the mailbag on one of our previous episodes, and I got reminded by a few listeners. Don't want to miss it today. We got some really good questions and hot takes. And from all different places on our Instagram, our YouTube comments section was dropping questions, and of course on Twitter. We'll start with Nando on YouTube. From today to that August 3rd LA card, please rank your top three fights you're looking forward to the most. I put a little list together, Chris. I got Bam versus Strada, which is June 29th. I got Tank versus Frank, which is June 15th. And I got Ray Ford versus Nick Ball, which is June 1st on that 5-on-5 card. Sneaky good fight at 126. Ray Ford coming off that huge win. Nick Ball had a big win. Love that fight. So there are some really, really good fights between now and August 3rd.
Good call. So it's before August 3rd because Zoo and Ortiz is August 3rd.
So. Yeah, Nando wants to know from today to August 3rd. You can repeat some of mine. I mean, there are some really...
No, you nailed the three bangers. I'm trying to think if there's any other ones.
Zhang Wilder.
That was gonna be my next, with Zhang Wilder. I'm very interested in that fight.
I have the schedule in front of me.
It's fun.
You know, Christian Mabili's fighting this weekend.
I saw that.
Not that he would make this list, but...
No, not at all.
Strada, Bam Rodriguez.
That's my number one. That's my number one.
Yeah, by far. Teofimo is in the news this week. He's fighting Steve Claggett.
Keyshawn, who's he fighting?
Keyshawn is fighting June 6th. It's not on the schedule. He's rumored to be fighting Marrero. Who's that guy?
Madueno. Yeah, yes. Yeah. The guy we had on our air. No, not super excited about that one.
Jorge Masvidal get you excited?
I don't even know who those people are.
Nate Diaz. Yes, you do.
I know, but come on. In terms of boxing, I don't know who those people are. Fights I'm actually excited July about. 6th.
Chocolatito Gonzalez is on his schedule. Boots Crawley.
Not that excited about that either.
Janibek versus another person we've never seen. Jake Paul, Mike Tyson.
Nope.
Katie Taylor, Amanda Serrano.
I'm excited for that.
I put that
you
on
would
the
be.
List.
So I'm going Bam. Definitely Bam Estrada. I got Zhang and Wilder on mine.
Anyone on that 5-on-5 card?
Claggett 5-on-5 card is a good card. Not that interesting. That
better
one.
BFB ball would have been the clear number one.
That would have been the clear number one. That would have been
Damn it. Talk about boxing's all about momentum, right? The schedule's all about momentum in this game. And we could have been coming off of Fury, Usyk, a nice little holiday weekend. This weekend to kind of take it off, not really worry about, think about boxing, and then come back for a freaking Bivol Better Biev fight week. But Better Biev has to go and tear his meniscus and be a 40-year-old man and have his one injury he has every single training camp. I love Better Biev. I love watching him fight, but if I could have bet on DraftKings that this guy would come down with an injury, I'd put my mortgage on it.
I had to do a pound for pound recently for another gig, and I actually put Canelo above Better Biev because I don't know if we're ever going to see Better Biev fight again. Because I don't know if he's at the stage, bro.
You're becoming a media guy because that's a take.
Yeah, he's at the stage where I was at in my career and why I retired, because I could not get through a training camp. I knew it. I was trying. I was supposed to fight, you know, very soon after my last fight against Ben, and I just kept getting hurt.
Really?
And everything kept getting pushed back.
Who
kept
are you going to fight?
Whoever. I was going to get back in the ring, and then I was going to get just a get back fight, and then look to campaign again once again back at 140. I was getting my weight down, and it was a weird injuries, like my ankle. I haven't sprained my ankle since I was 18. Sprained my ankle. I hurt my knee. You know, my elbow became a problem. I hurt my neck. I've never hurt my neck before. I busted an eardrum. I'm like, all right, this is
that was the world. That was the world telling you.
Yeah, no, it was. Yes, I was. Somebody up there was looking out for me. And they were like, yeah, you're done, bud.
You're done.
That's how Klitschko retired too. I think both of them kept getting injured in camps, and like they couldn't.
I love the Klitschko's. The Klitschko's were front and center at the. Yeah. Well, there's Vlad. I think he's really good.
Dude, how fit is Vlad still? That's amazing.
Not only that, like mentally, like he was giving his opinions so sharp. And
so
like,
sharp.
After he listened to Chisora, and after listening to some of the other DAZN people, Vlad was so like sophisticated and so articulate. It took him a little bit to get into his points, but. He knows his stuff. Like he knows.
Well, he's also speaking in not his native tongue. So
that's another thing too. But he was awesome.
That's very impressive.
Going. Louis Overhand, our guy on YouTube. Will you guys be attending the Mega Card in August in L.A.? Yes.
Boom.
And do you see Crawford taking the 154 division by storm, or perhaps another undisputed journey? Love you guys. Be smooth, Chris. You could take this one.
I don't. I think he's going to fight Madrimov. He's going to get a world title. He's going to be his fourth weight class getting a world title. And then he's going to look for mega fights like Canelo. But even like 160 versus Chris Eubank, five weight classes, sure, why not? You know, I don't see him doing the work to gather those belts at 54. It just takes too long, guys.
It's a lot of work. And there's that one guy There's one guy, I forgot his name, the other Eastern European guy who has a title.
Yeah, he just beat up.
He's managed by Jolene Mazzone, formerly of Main Events. I'm sorry, it's not cool. But
it's a really tough name to say.
He's got a title.
I don't want to butcher it.
He's got a title.
He beat Cole K.
Right. That guy's got a title.
Which he's not being mentioned a lot. Like, he's not being mentioned.
Because no one knows who he is.
But still, the guy's a champion. You got to mention his name. You know, like, what are we doing?
There's too many belts.
His name is Bakram Murtazaliyev.
There he is. Congratulations.
Bakram Murtazaliyev.
You're a champ at 154, and you will always
be a champion. Let's put some respect on his name, people.
Absolutely. You'll always be a champ, and you're going to be in line for either some big fights or some hefty step-aside fees. But you're right. I don't see Crawford. If Crawford wants to stick around 154, it's going to take him a little bit to become undisputed there. He wins that first title. He can say, I'm another division champion. 160, I don't know, man. Like, you brought up Eubank. He doesn't have a title. He could just say, I went to 160. I got a win there. That's not how you get remembered, though, in the record books. Like, that's not how De La Hoya or Pacquiao or Jones.
Dude, they'll invent a title for Terrence. They're like, we'll strip this guy and make this a title fight.
Can Terrence Crawford beat what's his name? The Janibek.
Very, very tough. Very, very tough. Very, very tough. Style's tough. Size is
big
a problem.
Guy. Big,
big
guy.
Long, awkward southpaw. Hard fight. Really hard fight.
Rocky Sloan 34 on YouTube asks, my hot take. He's not asking a question. He's giving us a hot take. We haven't seen a downfall in Wilder due to lack of hunger or his wars with Fury, but that Fury, Parker are just much more fundamentally sound and skilled than the Brazils, Stiverns, and Washingtons of the world. No offense, Rocky. That's not really a hot take.
Not a hot take, but also incorrect. What do you mean there's not been a drop-off in Wilder's hunger?
I think there has been a clear drop-off.
He was completely listless in the Joe Parker fight. Like,
he almost admitted it after, too.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't care about the sport anymore.
That wasn't a hot take. That was a poor take.
Rocky! Cold take.
Cold take. Ice cold take.
Like, your coffee went cold, and it was bad to begin with, that take. Sorry. Still
no offense,
you.
Bro.
Thank you for watching and listening. Schultzy Will, do you think the three Wilder fights slowed down Fury and cracked his chin? Fury was doing well, but didn't look the same to me. Also, why didn't he follow up after hurting Usyk? Sorry for the long question. Pretty short. I do think Fury got a little bit of residual damage from the Wilder fight. How could you not? Like, those were long, grueling fights. He was on the canvas. Wilder has bricks for hands. There's no way he came out of those rounds, 20-plus rounds, even more, with Wilder and came out fresh as a daisy. He's getting older, and he's fighting. He was knocked down numerous times. Would you agree?
Guys, you don't come out of first-round knockout wins with no residual damage. Let's be honest here. Training camps are hard. I keep mentioning that on this podcast. You take a lot of damage in training camps. Your brain gets rattled. Every month that you are training for a fight, every time that you fight, you leave a piece in the ring. But it's not just in the ring; you leave it in the gym as well. So yes, it was. He's had a long career. He's got a long career as a big guy, and he's fought absolute hellacious punchers, and he's taken some shots. It happens. So yes, are the residuals? Yes, you're a heavyweight. There's a reason why a lot of heavyweights are punch drunk after their careers. I mean, these guys hit really hard.
Also, why didn't he follow up after hurting Usyk? When he landed that uppercut in
the
middle rounds?
He hurt him multiple times, but I mean, it's not that easy, guys. This is boxing. This is not just like, oh, I got him hurt, man, I'm just going to go for it.
This is boxing.
That's way too nuanced of a discussion.
The A-side collectibles. Did you notice John Fury and Sugar Hill giving different advice to Tyson? Now, this is something I did notice. I saw... Obviously, Sugar Hill Stewart is the lead trainer for Tyson Fury. Andy Lee is part of that camp, too. Andy Lee is becoming a world-class trainer. Already is
awesome.
A world-class
awesome.
Trainer. John awesome. Fury being in the corner is a new wrinkle. He's usually like ringside headbutting people or ringside screaming. He was in the corner, and he was shouting different directions. Like, that corner was a mess, and it's usually not. We're talking Kronk style. We're talking... Sugar Hill Stewart. We're talking Andy Lee. You can't get any better I mean, you can probably, but that's pretty damn good. John Fury. What? I know it's his dad, but
no sense in being in that corner at all. Zero.
That's
the guy's a hot. The guy's a hothead. Why do we listen? I've had trainers in my past, guys that I tried out that were too hot-headed, and it hurt me. It hurt my ability. It hurt my performance, and they were never in my corner ever again. And nice. I learned that I need people to be calm. This is guys. I'm in war. I need to be in the eye of the storm in a corner. And I think a lot of fighters are like that. I think Tyson's one of those guys because he is very cerebral. Listen, there are some guys who are maniacs and just want to be, you know, in chaos. I don't see Tyson as being that kind of guy. I don't see that as being that kind of fight. I think that was a very cerebral fight. I think it was a lot of boxing IQ. I don't think he needed to rush. I think he needed to actually slow things down. But
even though his dad apparently was yelling out like jab more, he wasn't yelling out like primal.
Yeah, my dad does that too at my fights. I don't have him in my corner.
Jab, everyone. There's always that one guy in the crowd either yelling
hit him,
cut or jab.
Hit him. Oh, it's always uppercuts. Body shot. Body shot. Just random. Just perpetual body shot calls.
Throw the uppercut. Owen on Twitter. Does Usyk Fury fight influence your opinion on either guy's previous fights in hindsight? Joshua's performance against Usyk now looks better than they did at the time, and Wilder probably dented Fury's chin good in the third fight.
Good take.
I think it's a good take. I agree. I think that the Joshua is now looking, he has been looking great in the ring, and
yeah.
Those two performances against Usyk, razor thin, make Joshua look even better. Yeah. I mean, he came up short twice against Usyk, but I
thought Joshua did fantastic in the rematch with Usyk. He just got beat by a better man. And I think Tyson looked fantastic in this fight. He just got beat by the better man. It's just, you know, it's tough when you're fighting a guy like Usyk who's just so goddamn good.
Yeah. Let's find some other ones that aren't heavyweight.
I can't see the name here.
Can't see the name, sorry. Am I crazy to think that the Ghost can beat Tank? Great footwork, talented with both hands, a motor that never turns out of gas, Derek James in his corner, and a heart as big as Texas. Tank gives away a lot of rounds, and if he can't catch the Ghost, decision victory, about 5-1 odds. This is the year of the upsets.
Not a bad take, and I think we said that on the air. I think I've said that. I think that this is a very real fight, and Frank does have the ability to win this fight. I don't think he will, but... No, absolutely. I don't think that's a crazy thought by any means.
The thing with Frank is like I've obviously watched the majority of his fights since he's come into the public eye and like really came on the scene. Still don't know that much about like what exactly is his calling card. Like, great footwork, talented both hands, a motor that never runs out of gas. Like, okay. I also saw him struggle in his last fight with the guy that's fighting Shakur. Doesn't really have a signature win. And he's going up against a guy, yes, that does give away rounds by not landing, but is just one of the best fighters in the world and will always find your chin. Yeah, it's 5-1 for a reason. I think Tank's going to win, obviously, and I really don't give Frank that much of a chance. But who knows? Tank hasn't been in the ring in over a year. Who knows?
What else is new with Tank?
Yes, I'm looking forward
to it. Frank hasn't been busy either, so...
That's what I mean. No one's busy. Who's busy in boxing besides heavyweights that are getting paid to be?
Well, certainly nobody in the PBC is busy. Like, Tank's the most busy guy, and he's still not busy, so.
Right. J-Bay, how much of Benavidez is skill versus size at 168? I am not a Canelo fanboy, I promise. How high can he go? I mean, I think he's really good. I think that's the biggest thing with Benavidez. It's like everyone looks at his size, and everyone still looks at him as a weight bully. Because of the he missed weight in 2020, but they just look at him as a big guy. They don't see that this guy can box. This guy has great defense. Like I'll pull up the numbers. Like he only gets hit with like 20%, and he has a pretty good resume. He's a really 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 good boxer, and he has heavy hands and he has a motor. But David Benavidez is really good, and I get pissed off when people are like he's just a big body. He's no better than Munguia. I'm like, no, he's better than Munguia. Way better than Munguia.
Yeah, I don't look at Benavidez as a weight bully. I tuned out at that because I was like, no, I think he's actually a really, really good fighter. And he's got a great jab. And he throws combinations. And he cuts off the ring really, really well. And you're not weight bullying to beat Caleb Plant. Caleb Plant is a master boxer. He's going to move around the ring. I don't care how big you are. You're not weight bullying him. He outworked him. He outboxed him. He outjabbed him. He was able to chop him down as the fight went on. You're not weight bullying. He didn't weight bully Demetrius Andrade. Cracked him with right hands. Like, set him up beautifully against a guy who's very hard to hit. No, I throw it out that he's weight bully. I think he's actually a fantastic boxer and works hard, is in great shape. No, he's a good fighter.
I get annoyed with that. Which promotion has the best matchmakers? Ben Buckley, easy, Top Rank. They're best literally prospects? Hall of Famers. Matchmakers.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. No doubt, Top Rank.
Let's go last one. These are awesome. I have awesome questions.
I say it all the time, man. Our listeners are so informed.
I love that the guy had to put, I am not a Canelo fanboy. Because he not that we would call you one, but he just, like, doesn't want us to, like, know that. Like, hey, listen, guys. Like, don't judge me. I love that. This one's just funny. Bottle brush painting. Okay, we're giving your business a little plug here. Are we worried about Zhu versus Ortiz starting a nuclear reaction? Yes. I hope it doesn't happen because we're going to be there. I really don't want Chernobyl situation on our hands. But the last thing I see in life is Ortiz and Zhu in the ring. Okay. So I lived a good life.
that's a funny thing to say.
Put that
up. I'm so excited for that fight. I'm really, really looking forward to that one. And it's one of those fights where I don't know who's going to win. And it's the best feeling to have in the world. It's so funny. Like, we've been going through this lately, you and I, Dan, and I think we all have, like, being married to predictions and, like, people, like, coming down on you about a prediction. I love being wrong. That means things happened out of the blue. Because, listen, I don't care what you want to say about me. I know what the hell I'm looking at. And I know boxing. So if I pick a guy and he loses, like, whew, man, I saw that wrong. That's weird. That's a surprise. So I'm happy about that. I'm happy to be wrong. I'm not married to my predictions, not married to my calls. But I know how this sport is. That's why I don't bet, because anything can happen. This is boxing, baby.
Man, that's good. That's going to be a hard one. That's going to be a really hard one to pick. It's going to be a really hard one to wager. You do bet, Chris.
To win. I'm leaning on Virgil. Personally, but a lot of it has to do because I like him. I like both guys, but I'm a fan of Virgil Ortiz's style. But I got to really study that one before we get into
God,
it.
God, that's gonna be such a good fight. And you do bet, yep. Chris. You bet on Usyk to win, and you're
well. Won. I bet because of our great sponsor, DraftKings Sportsbook, who pits us head to head. And
one up, you're up. One
we gotta
on
do
me.
It.
You're
we
up
gotta
one
do
on
it
on me. And then our next slate that will be. Wagering on is the Gervonta Benavidez card on June 15th, mm-hmm. which you can also watch on ppv.com, our other wonderful sponsor. All right, that's our show this week. Enjoy your holiday weekend. Enjoy the fights if you do watch them. Enjoy your family if you like them. Enjoy your friends. Enjoy your life. Enjoy everything, everyone out there. It's a holiday weekend. You're off on Monday. I don't think we're going to do a show Monday. I've decided, Chris. Like, it's a holiday. Maybe we'll do one Tuesday. Maybe we'll just pick it up at the end of next week. I'm undecided.
Well, I guess let the fans speak, but also there's not a whole lot going on this weekend, and we do have a little bit of that post-Usyk Fury anxiety, like when you drank too much the night before and you wake up the next day, what did I say? What did I do?
What did I do?
Oh, no.
Who did I text?
Who did I DM?
Yeah, stay out of those DMs. I don't know. I'm pretty sure we're not going to have a show Monday. We'll do one.
I don't
later
think it's necessary, honestly.
It's a holiday.
I'll be barbecuing and working on my house.
It's a holiday. Let us live, guys. Let us live. We were given 110%, 110 episodes. Monday off. I'm giving us Monday off. All right, everyone. Enjoy yourselves. Protect yourselves. Keep your hands up at all times. Stay out of those DMs. Good night.
V Feel the rush. Live thoroughbred racing is happening now at Laurel Park, the Players Track. Every Friday through Sunday, the gates open at 11 a.m. and the action starts at noon. Free admission, fast-paced racing, and real wagering excitement from start to finish. Pick your horses, place your bets, chase the win. From live racing and simulcast action to great food, special events, and nonstop sports viewing, Laurel Park is where the action lives. Come, win, play. Visit LaurelPark.com.